Well, I am super excited to introduce you to our next speaker. And I've actually known this gentleman since I was 23 years old. I know that was just a couple of years ago, but quite a while ago. And in fact, when I first started working at Ziegler headquarters in 94, so now you know my age, he was my boss. He was the VP of sales. And I've had an opportunity to see him evolve so much through the years. He's seen me evolve through the years, and I am just so very proud to introduce Mr. Tom Ziegler. Come on up, the proud son of Zig Ziegler.
All right, how's everybody doing? Better than phenomenal? Okay, I'm going to get down here. I want to get a little closer. So I have a new opening. You ready? If you believe in telekinesis, raise my hand. That's good, isn't it, Matthew? Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, I have a... when you hear Mark's story, I mean, I got the pictures from that accident just a few days ago. And I'm like, Mark, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you say anything? And isn't that what happens? We go into stun mode like that. And I just know that holding the breath because the doctor's reports are, you know, you're checking it out and checking it out. When it comes right down to it, isn't it about legacy? Isn't it about the impact we make with those we love and care for the most? Isn't life really about our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and the kids we'll never even know this side of eternity? To me, that's what legacy is about. And so the question is, are you going to leave an intentional legacy? Because here's the reality, we're all going to leave a legacy. Do you know that? Do you know you're creating your legacy right now? Every single day? Is it intentional? Now, here's the crazy thing for me. Is I do things on a daily basis that my father did. And he never once told me to do it. I just watched him. He passed away almost 4 years ago. So for 48 years of my life, I watched him, and I'm doing the same things. I'll be like, golly, that's so weird. Anybody have that weird? So one of the things that I say is that legacy is a transference of habit. And we're going to get into that. Dad made this statement. He said, never give a promise without a plan. If you give a promise without a plan, what does that lead to? Discouragement, frustration, despair. So we have to give a promise with a plan. The promise of legacy, it's there. It's a choice we can make. But we need to have a plan that goes along with it. We're going to get into this blue sheet, this brand new back page. You see where it says those three words, success, significance, and legacy? We're going to get into that in a few minutes. I just wanted to point that out. These are my three key words: success, significance, and legacy. That's what my life is about. Dad lived a life, and I believe his mission was to help people achieve balanced success in the wheel of life, in every single area of life. That was his mission. And as he grew in that mission, he started equipping other people to go and do the same thing. And that turns into significance. And then the final one there is legacy. And legacy is the focus. How many of you here in this room want to leave a legacy on purpose? Can I see your hand? Is that 100%? Might as well pick it. So let's get into it. I'm going to share some stories because I want you to hear my heart. How many of you, this is the first time you've been to this conference? How many of you, this is either the first time you've seen me? How many is this your first time to see me? Okay, so I'm going to share my heart and my family. And some of you, you've seen some of these pictures. And I know you love them just as much as I do because it's my family. So there's Dad. Now, when I see that picture, does he look comfortable to you? I mean, does he look like he's in the purpose zone right there? Like he's fully in his element. That's not a stage picture. That's an audience. And he is living out God's purpose for his life. I mean, you can just see it in everything that he says and that he does. We have over almost 4.5 million fans on Facebook now. And the reason for that, how many of you are aware that there is turmoil in the world today? You've heard about that. Yeah. It's you can't get away from it. The reason that so many people are attracted to Ziglar is because they need hope and encouragement now more than ever. But a quote's not enough. A quote will get you started, but you need a plan to go to that next place. So that's what we're going to talk about today with the plan. And so I love talking about Dad's impact. And, you know, how many of you get the Ziglar Show podcast? Go to iTunes. It's free. Ziglar Show podcast. It's in the business section. You can also go to ZiglarShow.com and get it. Over 50 million downloads on that one show. The impact is spreading. And the reason is that people want, they need hope and encouragement, but they've got to have a plan. What do they say? You know, a great plan that's not executed will always fail to an average plan executed well. And no plan at all has no chance. So what's your plan? How are we going to get there? Because at Ziglar, we're in the transportation business. Our goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to go. Does that sound good? How many of you have a business that solves a problem? Hopefully that's everybody. Did you know that we're in the same business as you? You're in the transportation business too. Think about it. You're helping your customers get from where they are to where they want to go. So that's what we do at Ziglar. Oh, did you want to get that picture? Here, you want me to get in that picture? Yeah, let's do this. All right. We might as well have some fun as we talk about legacy. So here's my family. Now, I'm going to be talking about my daughter a little bit more. She's got some more pictures in this slideshow because some big things have happened in her life that I'm just really excited about. But up there in the top left-hand corner, that's my mom. Does anybody know what we call my mom? What Dad called mom? The redhead. The decided redhead. Because one day, she just decided. In fact, she told her hairdresser, she said, "Hey, if you keep me in the red, I'll keep you in the black." And then next to her is the family picture. So there's Alexandra. Alexandra, there, she's in the back. Everybody wave. You know Alexandra. But she's up there. I think you're 18 in that picture. 17 and a half, somewhere in there. And then there's mom in the middle. Then there's my wife, Chachas. Chachas is from Mexico. And then my two sisters, Julie, who's on Dad's right, my left, and then Cindy. Cindy works at the company. She's our customer whisperer. So if you ever call in and you have a question about a product or something like that, you'll probably talk to her. Julie goes around speaking. So that's our family. And then the bottom picture is the one that I wanted to point out. Dad, at the end of his life, he struggled. He had physical challenges, and he also dealt with Alzheimer's. And you know, if you've got somebody you love who's been through that, that's not a good thing. And he really, God blessed him in all his years. And he, you know, he did well for a lot longer than the doctors thought he would. And this is a picture actually from the very last time we went out at a family at a public event. This was a nonprofit charity event. The photographer comes to the table and says, "Can I get your picture?" So when the photographer asks you for a picture, where do you look? The camera. Where's Dad looking? Looking at the redhead. So when I see this picture, this is what I think. This is a legacy moment for me. You can tell the quality of a man's heart by where his eyes are focused. You can tell the quality of a woman's heart by where her eyes are focused. That was legacy to me. It's like, you know, we'll be in a restaurant with my wife and somebody attractive will walk by and I'll just keep looking at the menu. I think I learned that from Dad, because that's not natural, is it? Now, there's something I learned from Dad, too, that I wanted to tell you, is you cannot copy everything that Dad did. He called Mom the redhead, and I started calling my wife the blackhead, and she didn't like it. That's good, isn't it? Trust me on that. Don't try it. Ugh. All right, so there I am, 12 years old, and there's my daughter. I think you're 17, 16 in that picture. So when I was growing up, Dad had access. I mean, the greatest stages in the world, presidents of the United States, titans of industry, movie stars, I mean, the whole nine yards. And whenever he would go to a place where the schedule worked out, where I could go, I got to go to those things. I mean, I got to meet people in the green room that you only dream about. I got to sit on the front row. But the reason Dad wanted me to go wasn't to meet all those people. He wanted me to go to learn, because he believed that we got to be a lifelong learner. We got to continually put the good stuff in order for the good stuff to come out. I mean, there's never a time when it's enough. In fact, in Hebrew, there is no word for, in the Bible, there's no word for retirement. And it's because our purpose never ends. As long as we're here, that means we still got a purpose. We might change our focus, we might change what we're working on, but we're always in the game. And so when I look at this picture and I see the body language there, Dad wanted me to be there, but look at his body language. He wasn't doing it to me. He wasn't doing it for me. He was doing it with me. See how it's a transference of habit? Just picking that up. This habit. So there's my daughter. So what I think, one of the things I learned from Dad is, you know what, when you come to a business conference like this, if your kids are old enough, they need to be here. He took me to places. I was with adults all the time. And so I said, you know what, as soon as I'm able, I'm taking my daughter with me. So this was a cool deal. We were at Cambridge University. This was right after Dad passed away. And the subject was Zig Ziglar's impact on business. In fact, Howard was on this trip as well, and we got to go and speak at Cambridge, and I also got invited to do kind of the same presentation at Harvard for another conference they were having. And just a side story, Harvard, all these, like, their heads are, I don't know how they fit their brains inside the thing. They're so smart. The problem is they had a humorectomy. I mean, nobody would laugh at my jokes. It was terrible. But there was one joke they laughed at. So I'm doing my presentation. I'm giving them my best stuff. And it's just flat. And then I say, by the way, did you know that all of Dad's material, all of his books, over 30 of his books, were all written at the 7th grade, 3rd month level? Do you want to know why? And the whole room collectively leaned forward, right? Because this is academic, right? They could learn something from this. So they all leaned forward. And I said, well, we discovered this, and we asked Dad, why did you write at the 7th grade, 3rd month level? And he said, oh, son, that's simple. He said, that way even college professors could understand it. It's not the stuff we don't understand that gets us in trouble. It's the stuff that we understand and don't do. Right? It's that whole implementation thing. So we had this great trip. And Howard, I think you might have mentioned it earlier. We went to Australia and we're over there. And Alexandra was with us. And we were speaking at a conference. And we were there. And Alexandra, she went through kind of a strange procedure when she was 15. They surgically implanted a cell phone on her wrist. And so she's there, did a big talk in the morning, and then the afternoon we had breakout sessions with business owners. We had three back-to-back. Each was an hour long. And Alexandra, she was loving the trip. I mean, we're in Melbourne, Australia. I mean, we're seeing the coolest parts of the world. And she's in the back of the room, under the radar. She's excited, but in her head, she's thinking, when are we getting done? When are we getting done? There's things to go see. You know, this is awesome. Dad, I've heard that joke before. Can we go ahead? We've got 75 business owners. And we did this little exercise for an hour where the business owners asked us questions. And so Howard and I are doing it. And as you know, I let Howard do most of the work because he's really good at it and he likes that appreciation. So Howard's up there and we're double teaming. And Howard looks at me about 5 minutes after we start and he says, Tom, we're getting a lot of questions. We need somebody to write these on the board. Alexandra, will you come up and write these on the board? And so Alexandra's in the very back of the room and she does this. Because she's the 17-year-old undercover, I'm glad to be here, but don't pay any attention to this. Anybody have a daughter like that at one stage of their life? You know what I'm talking about? Well, then the ballet training kicked in. She put on the fierce face, right? The smile that says, I could have just broken my ankle and nobody will know. And she walks right up the middle. She's coming right down. She's got the smile. She's got the poise. You can tell she's beautiful. And then she locks eyes with me. Laser beams are coming out of her eyes. My face, I can feel it melting off. Anybody ever had the stare from your daughter? Oh. Now, Alexandra is genetically blessed because she can write clearly and spell at the same time. I don't have that. My dad didn't have that. I mean, he could spell, but you just couldn't read his writing. She gets up there, 2 minutes, she writes all the questions down, sits down, does a great job. She comes to me at the end of the break before the next group comes in, and she says, Dad, don't ever do that again. Tell Howard not to ask me up because I don't want to come up to the front. I say, okay, I'll tell her. Tell him. She walks off. A business owner, Ted, comes right up to me and starts talking. And then another one, and then another one, another one. Then Howard says, hey, let's go ahead and get started. Alexandra, can you come up here and write on the board? She gets up again. She puts on that face, locks eyes with me. This time, nuclear warheads are coming out. She does a great job. Session's over. She comes up to me. Dad, tell Howard. Please tell Howard. I don't like doing this. Tell him, I don't want to come up here. Tell him, please tell him. Okay. She walks off. A business owner walks up to me and starts asking questions. Another and another and another. Third session starts. Howard says, okay, everybody, we're starting. Alexandra. And I'm like, no. Alexandra, come to the front. We look at the back row. She's not there. She's gone. And then we look right where you're sitting, Yuri, second row, right at the front. Alexandra's sitting there. She pops up. She comes to the front. She writes on the board. She gives me the big happy smile. She sits down. Here's what happened. The shy girl, feeling uncomfortable, was encouraged and motivated by those awesome Aussies at every break. They said to her, what do you want to do with your life? Do you think you might be a speaker? Do you like Australia? Where else have you traveled? Where are you going to university? Over and over these questions. And so what happened was the people in the room thought she could do more than she thought she could. She fit. She grew up. Because of that experience, because of Howard just assuming, hey, you got this. Because of the people in the room confirming it, hey, you got this. Just like that. That's a legacy moment. And it was built on a legacy principle, which is this. To a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E. That's legacy. That's what it's about. So I ask you a question. What's your why? Why are you here? Why are you going through this life? Why are you building your business? What's your dream? I mean, what is it that you want to do that's going to change everything? Where are the places you want to go? I mean, do you have a dream house in your head that you'd like to have someday? Is there a nonprofit that you want to start? Do you want to grow an empire and train and develop people within that empire and change lives? I'm telling you, what's your dream? Do you have a vision for it? We're going to do that in Destin. Howard's going to lead that conference on dreams. And what's your definition of success? I talk to so many people, they have a bad definition of success. You ever meet somebody like that? I talk to them all the time. Talking to a friend of mine, he sells oil investments. This is a few years ago. This guy had 40 oil wells. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He was spending a fortune on attorneys trying to figure out how to put all of those oil wells into a trust so that when he passed on, his kids would only get one a year so they wouldn't blow it. Do you see the difference between inheritance and legacy? He built an inheritance, but a legacy, that's different. So what's your definition of success? Success is having more of the good things in life. I've got 50 definitions of success. You know, Charlie Sheen, he doesn't know what winning is. Do you agree? Success, if you have all the money and all the fame and you get your time, your 15 minutes or your 2 minutes or whatever of fame these days, if you get, you know, robbed in Paris of millions of dollars of jewelry and have a TV franchise named after you, is that success when you look at everything they're going for? I mean, if you had all the money in the world and you lost your health in the process, is that success? No. Success is more than that. It's about balanced success. Then we move on to significance. Significance is helping someone else be, do, or have more than they thought possible. This is where joy comes from. This is where, man, that's that feeling. Have you ever reached out to somebody who was struggling and you gave them a little encouragement, you gave them a tip, you gave them an idea, then they go and use it and they call you back and they say, I did that and it worked? Is there anything greater than that feeling? I mean, we get it with our kids when we do it right. And then there's legacy. Legacy is when you teach and transfer the habits that build character, integrity, and wisdom that will ripple through eternity. Don't you like that phrase, ripple through eternity? I was kind of proud of that one. Write that one down. We do things today that ripple through eternity. Who knew that sitting next to me when I was 12 at a seminar would plant a seed that said, you know what? Someday I'm going to take my daughter to a seminar. Right? Here's the reality. It was in the last presentation that Mark talked about with Ziegler Family. We can't be a wandering generality. We can't be a pinball in a pinball machine. Wherever life pushes us, that's where we go. What we need to be is a meaningful specific. The Howard Hill example. I actually have the Howard Hill book at my house that Dad bought. I think it was published in the 40s or 50s. Talks about all his feats. But being a meaningful specific means we have a goal. We have something we're going after. So my question is, have you written a legacy goal? Have you said, hey, this is the legacy that I want to leave? Because until it's written down and acted upon, the probability of it happening is almost none. And here's why. You see it all the day, all the time. It's in the headlines. You know, you see it in the news and the paper. It's people who get pushed around by life who don't decide what they want to become and the legacy they want to leave. They live a life of regrets, unhappiness, and despair. So we've got this big choice to make, right? We can wander through life, let things happen, and we end up like this, or we can say, hey, that's my goal. That's the future I want to create. That's the legacy that I want to leave. And when we do that, then it changes everything. So we're going to do a little exercise here. And I want you to write your own definitions. And you can do this on the blue sheet. You can do this around the edges if you want, on the success, significance, and legacy side. We need another blue sheet up here. Yeah, so if you didn't get a blue sheet, raise your hand. We'll get you one. These are in high demand. We already said success is having more of the good things in life. Success is the maximum utilization of the abilities that God gave you. Success is, like Howard's book, L-I-F-E, living in freedom every day. It's doing what I want, when I want, with who I want. Right? Would you say those are pretty good definitions of success? So here's my question to you. What is your definition of success? So I would like for you to personalize your definition of success. Write your own definition down. For me, this is success. And what I'd like is, after you've written that down, I'd like a few volunteers to just shout out your definition of success. In fact, raise your hand and we'll send the mic over. We got one person over here who's going to share his definition of success. We'll get that for you. Yep, well, we'll go right. Can you speak loud, sir? Yeah, go for it, baby.
Success is accomplishing goals and being fulfilled and happy.
I love that. Accomplishing goals. Did you know that happy and goals go hand in hand? Happiness is a result because of the progressive realization of goals and achievements. That's one of the byproducts of it. John, what's your definition?
Living out God's plan for my life.
Living out God's plan for your life. Love it. Anybody else want to chime in here? Yes, right here.
Fully embracing the me that God made.
Okay, love it. Who else? Right back there, Rob. We got a mic there if you need it.
Yeah. Inspiring, motivating, and growing people.
Okay, got it. Love it. Inspiring and motivating. One more.
Activating my God-given abilities until it helps others activate theirs.
Okay. Does everybody here, have you heard those? Have you written your own definition down? I want you to go ahead and just try. If you haven't done it yet, just write one down. You don't have to, you're not married to this definition. It could change. That's okay. It could grow. It could evolve. Now I want you to play a game with me for just a second. Imagine that little sheet of paper you just wrote it on, it's in your notebook. You take it home with you. And 1 year from today, for some reason, you pull out that notebook and that little sheet of paper falls out on the ground, and your spouse or your business partner or your mentor, your best friend, they read that and they go, "Nate, man, that's you. You live that definition." How would you feel at that moment? If a year from now, the person you respected the most, who you had the best relationship, they saw your definition of success and they said you live that every day. You're there. You've achieved it. How would you feel?
Successful.
Successful? How else?
Awesome.
Awesome? What else? Shout it out.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled. Write down three words of how you would feel. And then after you've written those three words down, I want you to write down, it's a choice. Why is it a choice? Because we can do the things on a daily basis that bear the fruit of success. Therefore, that feeling is a result of the choices we make today and the actions that we take. So if we want to feel that way, it's a choice. It's like goals and happiness, how they go hand in hand. Significance is helping someone else be, do, or have more than they thought possible. So let's talk about the difference between success and significance. So imagine you're leaving the workshop today, you're going home, you're cloud nine, your cell phone rings, and it's your best friend. Now this is a unique best friend. This is your best friend from college or high school, and it's one of those friends that you only talk to like once a year, maybe twice a year, because geography and time. But it's also a friend that when you talk, even though it's only for 10 or 15 minutes, it's like you were never apart. Your hearts start beating in the same rhythm. Anybody have a friend like that? I've got a few like that. So you pick up the phone, and it's your best friend from the old days, and you start talking, and immediately the tone in their voice says, uh-oh, something's wrong. And you hear a cry of desperation. You can tell in the tone of their voice that they're going through a tough time. I mean, tragedy's visited their house. They've made a decision or a circumstance beyond their control has happened, and they're flat and they're devastated. They don't know what to do, and they pour their heart out. And then they say, can you help me? Can you give me some advice? And so you say a quick prayer, and you give them some advice, and you let them know you'll be thinking about them, and you encourage them, and then you hang up. Whole thing takes 20 minutes. Time goes by, and 1 year later, they call you back. And they say, hey, remember a year ago when we talked? That advice you gave me changed my life. I wouldn't be where I am today. I might not even be alive if it wasn't for you. How would you feel? How would you feel? Write down three words that you would feel at that point right there. Shout them out.
Humbled.
Blessed.
Grateful.
Challenged.
Inspired.
Inspired.
Powerful.
Loved.
Happy.
Grateful. Gratitude. Overwhelmed.
Important.
Significant. All right. So let's talk about legacy. Legacy is when you teach and transfer the habits that build character, integrity, and wisdom that will ripple through eternity. And then I have another question. Here, I'll go back. You're taking a picture of that. Let's go over here. Who was taking that picture over here?
Hold on now. Scoot over a little bit.
Come over here.
Okay. I got a new question for everybody in the room. Who are you fighting for? Has anybody here been told you can't do it before?
Yes.
More than once? A well-meaning loved one? A friend? A teacher? Anybody had that? Who are you fighting for? Hey, when somebody says you can't do it, that's a bad idea. Why are you opening up a second location? Why are you getting involved in that program? Why are you traveling over there? Why are you starting that nonprofit? Why are you writing a book? Why are you going and trying to figure out if you'd go out and speak and teach? Anybody had people question you on those things? Like, who are you to go and do that? Yeah. So when that word comes, because it does, because that's the world, the question you got to ask yourself is, who are you fighting for? Because if you know clearly who you're fighting for, then you go through those words like a hot knife and butter. Because who you're fighting for is what matters. Let me tell you who I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for the legacy. I'm fighting for all the blessings that I've been given. I'm fighting for the brand and reputation, the name of our family. But it's not the, you know, the graphics and the names and all that. It's the one-on-one conversations that I had with Dad. That's why I'm fighting. Because I knew his heart. You know what else I'm fighting for? I'm fighting for my family. They're watching. When the bad news comes, when the naysayers say, oh, you can't do that. You know, how can you step into that role? How can you do that? I'm asking you, who are you fighting for? Then it gets real personal. Alexandra's back there. I'm fighting for her. She just graduated. Her whole life's in front of her. Do you think she learns more from mom and dad when things are going good or when things are tough? When things go our way or nothing lines up? Yeah. Look at that. I'm fighting for Howard. I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens and dozens of conversations I've had with people that come to this conference that say, my life, my business, my family is better. I wouldn't be here. Marriages are saved. That's who I'm fighting for. Bottom line is I'm fighting for everybody in this room. When somebody says, oh, you can't do that, you're thinking too big. In your own business, who are you fighting for? In your own family. So let me tell you a story. Here's a guy I'm fighting for. I'm going to ask him to come up in a second. It's okay, Matthew. I'm going to start crying before you get here. So I'm coming to this conference. And I get this post that was made 6:09 in the morning. And it's from Matthew. It's a Facebook post. And here's what he says. 4 years ago today at 1 a.m., I looked up at stars while at work on lunch break. So you're doing the night shift then if you're having lunch at night, right? And it's a big factory.
Huge.
And the way I understand it is your whole family, that's all they knew. That's where everybody worked. Five generations working at this place. That's all you can do. This is where our family belongs. I came across a 6-minute and 18-second video of a crazy man telling me I could be, do, and have the life I dreamed of. The guy in the scooter next to me told me to turn that stuff off. He was trying to sleep. I thought, who does this guy think he is telling me I can do all these things? He doesn't know my failures, the college dropout, the kid who wasn't smart enough to move on to the fourth grade. They say held back, but I'm not that slow, laugh out loud. I can read between the lines. After watching it the sixth time, I said, you know what I could probably be, do, and have the life I dream of. After the 12th time, I said, it's possible. After the 18th time, I said, is necessary for me to be, do, and have the life I dream of. By 7 a.m., they were calling me crazy. Today, 4 years later, I'm leaving the house at 1 a.m., headed to Charlotte, and I'm reflecting on the last 4 years. By the way, they said I was crazy for leaving at 1 a.m. That crazy man on the video was Zig Ziglar. Since then, I've met his family, prayed, and cried with them. I was selected into an exclusive program, a handful worldwide, to teach and coach people how to be the right person, do the right thing so they can have all that life has to offer. And then you can give to others. It's called significance. They say dreams don't come true. I'm here to tell you they do. My story isn't over, and neither is yours. My hope is my story will have an impact in your life. So, Matthew, if you come up here, could we get a microphone up here? Come on up here, brother. Tracy, give him a mic there. All right, so I got a question for you. So you came through, so tell everybody the circumstance. I call it the crab pot mentality. Anybody ever heard of the crab pot mentality? Right, when one crab gets in, it can crawl out of the pot. When two crabs get in, they keep each other in. One tries to get out, the other one pulls them in. So tell them about your journey to coming to ZLC.
Well, I came across that video that night, and it literally changed my life. The mindset that I had, the failures that I was going through, my parents telling me I couldn't do it. She said you'd be bankrupt in 6 months. The whole revolution of me doing this from the legacy that I want to leave for my kids. I said, this is what I'm going to do. So once I experienced that night, I said, I've got to reach out and do something for others now. You know, I got to share this with the Ziglar family, what his dad did for me. So I came to Ziglar, and I came a certified trainer, and that experience, top notch. I mean, we're family now. I consider you family,
yeah,
brother.
That's right.
We get done, and I tell him, I say, I want to do something else. You know, I want to be able to touch people on a one-to-one level. And he introduces me to the coaching program, and he says, and I tell him, I say, I just don't have the funds to do that right now. And Tom says, what'd you say, Tom?
I said, why don't you go ahead and get a coaching client before you come to get coaching certification? That way you can pay for it before you come, right? Get a client, sell it, and we will help you coach them until you come through the class. And was it like 6 weeks or 8 weeks?
That's right, yeah. Yep. It was coming up in 6 weeks.
So you go home.
I go home, and within probably 48 hours,
yep.
I call Tom up and I say, I got a coaching client. And just so happens she's from South Africa. And I call her up and she says, I have two coaches that I just got off the phone with. And within 5 minutes, I hung up on them. She says, I don't believe in God. I'm mad at him and I hate men. I'm like, God, did you really send me this lady? I'm like, I cannot make this stuff up. And so we get to talking and she's going over her failures and where she's at. And I just tell her the story that I had, right? You know, I'm trying to tell her that she can be doing have the life she wants. She calls me crazy. You know what I mean? And I say, failure's an event. It's not a person, just like your dad told me that night. And I say, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. You're what you are and where you are because of what's going into your mind. You can change what you are. You can change where you are by simply changing what goes in your mind. Feed the positive and you will be positive. 30 minutes in, This lady's life has changed. She says, God sent me you. She said, I was going to kill myself today. It changed her life. Your dad changed my life. And I love you because of it.
I love you.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not done. I got a lot more to do. And I hope all y'all will take that story and I hope it helps you in some way. And go out there and you can change the world, one person at a time.
Amen. Amen, brother. I appreciate you.
That's why I ask who you're fighting for. I'm fighting for that guy. Comes through certification. He's got some reasons. That's who he's fighting for. His family. Who are you fighting for? It's another way to look at legacy. This is an awesome picture right here. Can you read that quote? There is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. That's on an elevator. So here's the point. Everything around him said, all you can do is be a factory worker and a cog in the wheel. And he hears a voice of hope. And he says, I can do better than that. I'm going to start a business. And it wasn't easy, was it? Now that business is thriving. More businesses. Four. 4 in 4 years. See what legacy does? Legacy is a transference of habit. So now comes the plan. Take this sheet out. Success, significance, and legacy. List the words and phrases your family will be known for. Let me explain. When you talk about Ziegler's, you'll hear words like hope and encouragement. This is the Ziegler brand. Character and integrity. Persistent consistency, that's our definition of hard work, right? That's what we call hard work. What do you want your family to be known for? What are the words that when people talk about you and your family behind your back, what do you want them to say? Servant's heart, generous, kind, loving. What are the words you want your family to be known for? Write those down. They can be phrases. It can be a short sentence. Every family's word is unique. I took one family through this and they said, our word is weird. No, here's why. This is why it's a family word. And I said, what do you mean? And they say, well, whenever we sit around the table with the kids and we talk about what we're going to do, the kids say, that's weird. We're doing the opposite of everybody else. I don't know about you, but I want to be weird. It's a Dave Ramsey word too. Broke's normal. Be weird. So what are the words? Go ahead and write that in that. Everybody got some words in there? What do you want to be known? You can add to it later. You can do it. Now the plan is this. As you flesh out your words, whatever your family words are, the legends and stories, you've already got them in your past. You've got parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins who've done amazing things, right? They had the shortcut and they refused it, and they erred on the side of integrity. And because they made that decision, they suffered in the short term. But in the long run, the family's name was gold. Anybody have a family story like that? You need to start writing these down. Our great-great-great-grandkids will never know. They need to know about these stories. If you don't pass them on, who is? So you write these down. It's the 4-1 plan. So here's how it works. Down the left-hand column, this is how simple this plan is. Down the left-hand column, the first one says legacy moments. Daily, 1 minute or less, intentional impacts around your family words. I'm just going to ask some skill level questions. How many of you here know how to send a text? How many of you know how to write a personal note? Leave a voicemail? Email? How many of you can say something positive verbally to somebody else? We got 100% in here? Is there anybody not qualified? We all qualified? Okay, we're all qualified. Every day, I want you to devote less than a minute. How many of you have less than a minute to something that's important? I'm asking easy questions, aren't I? I want you to pick one of your family words, and I want you to express that word to somebody in your family or your adopted family. Hey, you know what? We've got so many kids in our family that aren't our blood kids. It's okay. ZLC, we've got over 200 adopted brothers and sisters around the world who come through. They're part of the family. Once a day, write a note. Take one of your family words and say, hey, I saw what you did. You know, I loved how you held that lady's door for her when she was getting in. You know, our family is about love, and that was an act of love. Your kids, your grandkids, they don't even have to know what you're doing. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, the reason that there are 7 columns across here is because these are the columns or the spokes in the wheel of life. So when we talk about the wheel of life, these are the 7 areas that we all have: mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. And so when you have an idea of something that you can do under one of these columns, like physical. So you, one of your family values or words, it could be fit, right? And fit could mean we're physically fit, we're financially fit, we're emotionally fit, we're relationally fit. I mean, you can do what you want with these words. And so somebody in your family could be, you know, they might have exercised 5 out of 7 days in a week. So you could write them a little note. Hey, man, you are getting fit. I'm so proud of you. You're going to accomplish more because you're taking care of your body. See how easy that is? You're recognizing one of your family. The second column here, a weekly dinner. That's hard, isn't it? Well, one whole dinner a week. How many of y'all eat? We do? We eat? An intentional conversation at dinner once a week around your family words. Just pick one. There's a scandal going on in school. Hey, you know, did you hear about so-and-so and so-and-so? And your family word is integrity. And so, Mom, you asked the question, well, so how do you think that scandal is going to impact those two kids' reputation going down the road? I mean, it's an integrity thing, isn't it? And you just manage the conversation. Once a week. How many of y'all can do that once a week? It's not a big ask, is it? How many of you want to leave a legacy? How many of you want to plan? Right here. Once a month. That's the next column. A legacy event. Now, an event doesn't have to cost anything. It could be a picnic. It could be going down to the local public museum that's free. It could be something where there's a message. You've prepared a little bit. You go there with the idea of, you know, we owe a lot to the people who came before us. I mean, what if you went to a World War II memorial and you talked about sacrifice? You talked about courage or bravery or maybe some of the other words in your family. You see, what happens over time is these words become the lifeblood and the DNA of your family. And the last one is a legacy experience. I think family reunions are awesome experiences. There's Washington, D.C. There's a trip that you could take together. You could have the kids interview, the grandkids interview aunts and uncles about their experiences. There are all kinds of things that you can do. And the questions that you ask around that are going to help people, help your children, help your family members figure out, hey, this is what our family stands for. Imagine if you went to a family reunion and you started asking the older aunts and uncles and great aunts and great uncles, hey, you know what? Tell me about this situation. How did they handle it back then? We had an interview with Mom in the office with our Gen Z, our Ziegler youth this week, and that's the questions they were asking her. Hey, when you got married, and you were married for 66 years, what was it like getting married back then? What was it like moving almost 20 times as a family in the first 20 years of your marriage? Think about the lessons there. Does everybody understand what this is? And so all you do as you start brainstorming, as you start thinking of little things that you can do, you start adding them in. Hey, I'm going to put a note in my niece's lunchbox. I'm going over to visit. I'm going to put a note in her lunchbox, and she's going to read this word, how much I love her, because love is our family word, right? Do you know how many of those notes get saved? Think about that. There's the assignment, the plan. 1 minute a day, a dinner a week. Could be lunch, could be breakfast, doesn't matter. 10 or 15 minute conversation. Doesn't have to be big, just has to be intentional. Once a month, go somewhere special. Drive to your old house if you moved houses and talk about a memory there. I used to love doing that. All right. I want to paint a picture for you. I love this face. What do you see when you see that face? Love? Joy, laughter? Do you just see it's like complete contentment. It's a face that says, if I were called home right now, I'd be good. Because I've done everything I've could. I've lived as to the best of my ability. I've equipped my kids. I've given directions. I've left a legacy. It's not an inheritance. It's a legacy. It's teaching and transferring the principles and the values and the wisdom, God's wisdom. So you got that. So now we're going to get in your head. And imagine you've taken this to heart and you've got your family words. And you're looking into the future. And it's your 80th birthday. That was Dad's 80th birthday. So you're in the future, it's your 80th birthday, but it's a pretty cool birthday because you're celebrating it at your dream house. Okay, now my dream house, it's cool. It's in the mountains. It's got 3 stories of windows. Trout stream coming down over here. Mountain peaks with snow over here. Pine needles. From the kitchen, the smell of gluten-free chocolate chip cookies are wafting through the room. You smell it? You taste it? Or you like it? How many of you have a dream house like that? Now, Howard's dream house, it's on the beach. One of the top most beautiful beaches in the world. Amen. Right? So what does your dream house look like? You picturing it? Now it gets even better. You're 80. It's your birthday. You're in your dream house. You got a smile like that. And it's your family reunion. Your whole family's there. You got kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and all the adopted people that you just honorarily made part of the family. I mean, the people who came over for special events and birthdays and things, they're all there because it's a party. It's a family reunion. It's a party. It's your birthday. And they're all there. And your mind is sharp and you're kind of slowing down a little bit, but you feel good and you're thinking, you know what? I've done good. Got that smile on your face. And you start thinking about these great-grandkids that are running around. Some of them you don't even know. They're friends of the friends, right? And you said, that's who I fought for. That's who I fought for. And you're sitting on that porch, and the wind is blowing. It's perfect, right? It's the perfect wind. It's always 70 degrees at your dream home. And the wind is always just strong enough to keep the mosquitoes at bay. I mean, you're on that front porch, and then you hear it. Two of the great-grandkids over on the side, they're talking. Little girl from the East Coast, little boy from the West Coast. Little boy's 11, little girl's 9. The great-grandchild, the little boy from the West Coast, says to his younger cousin, he says, "Hey, do you know the words our family stands for?" How do you feel right then? Write that down. How would you feel at your 80th birthday party reunion? Great grandkids, 11 and 9. They only see each other once a year at the reunion. And the 11-year-old says to the 9-year-old, "Do you know the words our family stands for?" And the 9-year-old says, "Yes, I do, but tell them to me again. Tell me the legends and stories of our family." Write those words down. How would you feel? I want to hear them. Complete.
Blessed.
Honored. It's like that scripture, well done. So write those words down, and then next to it, I want you to write these 3 words. Does anybody know what I'm going to say? It's a choice. It's a choice. If you want to leave a legacy, let me rephrase that. You are leaving a legacy. If you want to leave an intentional legacy, I want you to recall these 2 things. Who are you fighting for? And what's your 80th birthday party going to look like? Because it's starting today, you can create that. I didn't say what your family's known for so far, or what the other branch of the family said, or where you came from. I'm saying that today, right now, you can decide what your family's going to be known for, and you can create that. You can watch a 6-minute and 18-second video 18 times in the middle of the night, and totally change your life. Because the God who created you for amazing things. And you've got a choice. You can believe what he said about you, or you can believe what the naysayers say about you. And I know who I'm putting my money on. All right. So that's the plan. This sheet is the plan. Now, we have a little bit extra on the plan. We have a program called Live to Win. How many of you are in Live to Win? Because I know we've got a bunch. Raise your hands. Let me tell you about Live to Win, because it's a way to walk this out. Because what we found is that people, they have good intentions, they want to do it, they get busy, but then they have questions like, you know, how do I get started on any one of these spokes? How do I start incorporating this? Dad had a philosophy, it's you got to be before you can do, and you got to do before you can have. So the way you build a legacy is by becoming the right person first. Matt's mindset had to change. He had to become the right believing, thinking person before he could impact his family in the right way. So we got to be, and then we do, and then we have. It's based on a very simple quote, which you guys have probably heard me say a million times. The fastest way to success is to replace a bad habit with a good habit. And this is based on Dad's world-famous termite philosophy, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. How many of you are familiar with the termite philosophy? Isn't that awesome? That's just a great name, isn't it? The termite philosophy. So it's off of a kind of a funny one-liner Dad had. He said, tornadoes and hurricanes get all the publicity, but termites do more damage and they take such little bitty bites. Success is about replacing a little bad habit with a little good habit. Success is about changing my mindset from being unintentional about my legacy to being intentional. A little handwritten note every day around a legacy word. A conversation at dinner once a week. An event once a month. That's simple. And you cover every spoke on the wheel of life. And we covered that on the brochure. And this is the infographic that goes through it. But basically, what we want to do is we want to move from survival to significance. Significance is when we help others. We've got to be able to give to others. We go on this journey. So let me talk about what Live to Win is. Live to Win is a program. It's a live webinar series that we do. I host it every week. You can go online and participate in it. We answer all the questions. We call it group training and coaching. And the reason is we do the coaching and then we do the training. And the coaching is interactive, where you ask as many questions as you want. In this program, it comes with a downloadable workbook that's 103 pages long. It also comes with Ziglar On Demand. Ziglar On Demand is all of Dad's greatest material online, over 60 hours. How did anybody here access Ziglar On Demand? Do you like it?
Love it.
Love it?
Love it.
That program alone, if you were to buy all that in hard copy, it's over $1,000. The 48 sessions that we do during the year, we go through each one of the spokes on the wheel. So this next week coming up is physical. We're going to have a guest speaker. A doctor is going to come on and talk about how we can get in physical shape by replacing bad habits with good habits. Then the following week, it'll be the family. And we go around the circle. So every 7 weeks, we repeat. So we're always trying to focus just on one bad habit for a good habit. In fact, if you turn the blue sheet over to the other page, that's really the game plan for Live to Win, is we just get rid of a little bad habit and replace it with a little good habit. So what do you get? You can start right away. Accountability. I mean, the reality is when you're in a community, which is what this is, and you say to me over the webinar, hey, this is my bad habit I'm getting rid of this week. And when you're on the call the next week, we say, hey, did you get rid of that? I mean, did you follow through? That's where change happens. The investment. If you go to our website, it's $497, and we have it on special for $397. Today, it's $297, and we have a bonus. The bonus is a relationships download called Golden Rule Relationships. And I only say this because people come up to me on a regular basis, And they say, wow, this sounds good. I've tried it so many times. Where do I start? And so what we've created is a simple plan. I didn't say easy because we're changing habits. But if you've got a minute a day, if you can join us once a week, and by the way, if you can't attend the live webinar, it's recorded and put into a member section. You can go back and listen to it at any time. And let me close with this. I love this picture. This picture was taken probably about a year before Dad passed away. And I have so many stories about this picture because where I am in my life helps me interpret this picture. I used to think, how did Dad become the man to hold hands? I still think that. Because you see, his father died when he was 5 years old. He never had a role model that held his hands. Yet he became the man that held hands. And we were holding hands in this picture for two reasons. One, he needed me for stability. That's where he was in his life. Two, I knew I wasn't going to be able to hold his hands much longer. And so how did he become the man that held hands? He made a decision one day. His decision was, I want to be the best father and the best husband that I can be. And so because of that, he read and studied. He read literally thousands of hours in God's Word, and he read hundreds and hundreds of books on how to be the right kind of husband and the right kind of parent. And because he put that into his mind, he became the man that you know from his legacy. And so just like Dad held my hand and our family's hand in building this legacy, that's the way I feel like Live to Win is. It's a way for us to hold your hand. If you want to be purposeful and intentional about being the best you, about creating a legacy, then this is what you want to do. Because it's about significance. Dad was a wordsmith. So one of the legacy things that I got from Dad was how to phrase things and say things in a unique way that everybody knew. So my mission is significance. It's helping people in their lives on this journey from success to significance to legacy. When you combine those three things, you get significance. We have the order forms back in the back. If you want, I'm going to be coming back there as well. This message today was literally crafted a couple of days ago around who are you fighting for? So I encourage you, as you leave this conference and you start implementing everything you learned, when the naysayer comes and says, oh, don't do that, put that off, that'll never work. Are you kidding me? Why would you systemize that? What? You're going to get up early and do a quiet time? Are you crazy? You're going to track your goals? What are you talking about? You're going to have an intentional dinner with your family? Nobody does that anymore. What? You're going to leave your cell phones on the other table out of the way while you have a... You're out of your mind. When people tell you that, just remember who you were fighting for. My name is Tom Ziegler. I'm the proud son of Zig Ziegler. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
So this morning, I've actually seen two grown men, at least, cry today because of what Zig Ziglar has done in their life. And I'm sure that there's many more in this room. And he changed my life. He's changed many of you guys' life. And I needed Santi for something a while ago, and he's like my son. So I grabbed him by the hand, and he was like, what do you want? I said, give me your hand. And so I was walking with him, holding his hand. He's like, I said, look, see the picture up there? Anyway, so I decided to bring Alexandra up here because the legacy continues, and she's going to hold her dad's hand and walk him back to the back of the room. There we go. Give him a big hand clap. Okay. By the way, this is Mrs. Phenomenal. If you haven't met her yet, so please visit with her after it's all over with. And let's give it up for Michelle Prince for doing a phenomenal job emceeing. So y'all don't have to hold hands, but y'all can go back down that way to the back of the room, and you could hold hands if you want to. By the way, I'm working a little closer with Ziegler now. And give it up for the whole Ziegler team. We've got Evan back here, David and Kanya. And I'm working closer with them to work on the vision of where we're going and everything. And Live to Win is going to be the foundational program where we start. This is where you really, you know, get your life together. And because the one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals, right? And so we want to make sure that we have a solid, balanced life. Zig said that success is living a balanced life. We want to be strong in those areas. Now you know that you can be a borderline 11 on all seven areas of life. So we want to work on that first. And our business is there just to help us to get to where we're going in life. Success, significance, and legacy. And each and every one of you can leave a phenomenal legacy. So be sure to get in Live to Win. I know we've had a lot of offers, but I'm going to just tell you something right now. The reason that I'm standing on this stage right here, the reason that I can bring Brian Tracy in, the reason I can bring that I brought Zig Ziglar in, the reason that I brought John Maxwell, could bring John Maxwell in and pay him $50,000, the reason that I can build a home in Destin and pursue my dreams, the reason that I can do all the things that I'm doing is because I'm the first one to step up and buy all of the programs. Do you remember when I introduced Ellen Rohr the other day? I mean, I didn't ask her how much. I just walked up with my credit card. Now, I'm not asking you to buy everything, but the thing is that you got to invest in yourself. So if you filled out the Ziegler family enrollment form, make sure that Mark gets that back there. If you have not joined Inner Circle yet and you want to take advantage of our bonus items, do that. If you want to upgrade, we're going to start our 777 group here in just a little while, right after lunch. And so if you're ready to take the next level in leadership or you want to get your team trained with 787 Dream Team, then do that. And by all means, get registered for the Destined Dream Retreat because this is going to be so I can't believe I'm going to do my first Destined Dream Retreat with our home finished. It's awesome. I got to make sure I say ours with Denise in the room, you know what I'm saying? Thank you very much. Thank you, Ruth. Hey, all of you guys that I've been dragging y'all down there for years, hey, come look at this pile of sand, you know? So how many of you walked that beach with me? And I said, yeah, there's sand here. Yeah, sure is. And so now there's a home there. So be sure to do that. It's only $97 a person. Bring your family. One of the things I was thinking about is Tom was talking about these experiences. Is Alan Hunter still in the room? He's not here. I told you that the last trip that they had with their daughter was right there in Destin. So take the time. Your family will love the beach. They'll love the water down there. It's a family affair. And there's going to be great things for the kids, and we're going to do all this dreaming stuff and work on our life. We'll have some business stuff too, so be sure to do that. Now, let's give it up to our volunteers back here, Mr. Tracy Day, Carl Qualls, Luis Hernandez, John Osterman. Give it up for our sponsors. Couldn't do it without them. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just tell you one thing. I've done a lot of conferences. This one went operationally without a hitch. The only thing that ever got messed up was something that I did. Hey, at least we got that meteor pushed over. I mean, we changed the course anyway, right? But so give it up for my entire team. They rocked it. You guys rock. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Michelle, Victoria, Santiago, Rick, Alexandra. Aliki. Who else we got back there? I said Victoria. Can't forget about the ninja. Now, stay standing. Stay standing up for me. None of this, zero, would be possible without you. So give yourselves a big standing ovation.